In your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 14, we read where Jesus fed a multitude, fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And after he feeds them, it's late in the evening, Jesus sends his apostles by boat across the Sea of Galilee. He tells them to head on across. And then Jesus dismisses the crowds, and then he goes by himself on the mountain to pray. Jesus no doubt prays there for a while. And then he heads toward where his apostles are. And they are by boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. And the waves are coming up and the wind is blowing. It says the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night would be between 3 and 6 a.m. So somewhere, let's say 4:30 in the morning, the apostles are still trying to get across the Sea of Galilee. The wind is against them. And they've been battling. They might have been battling this wind for up to 9 hours by this time. And Jesus goes and walks to them on the water. And as you know, when they see Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified. They freaked out. If you think people believe in ghosts today, in the first century, it was much more so. They had a variety of beliefs. And of course, they also had demons that were active during that time, allowed by God. And so we're not sure if the apostles thought maybe this was an unclean spirit coming to deceive them. If this was someone's spirit, in the first century, they had a belief that when you died, an angel would come and escort your soul, and that angel would look like you. So it would be what we might think of as what you would picture as a ghost, looking like a person. The apostles are terrified. And Jesus, he speaks to them, and he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Peter speaks up, the impulsive Peter, and he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out and walk towards you." And Jesus, in one word, says, "Come." And Peter steps out of that boat, and Peter walks on water. Now, if you know this story, and most of you do, you know that Peter begins to doubt here in a minute, and he begins to sink. And if you think about Peter walking on water, you may remember him doubting. But let's stop for a minute and give Peter some kudos here. You talk about trust. This is what trust looks like. When you step out of that boat and you are confident, you're doing something that you should be afraid, but you're not afraid. And Peter's walking on water, trusting Jesus. Have you ever been where you are trusting God? Have you ever experienced that? Been doing well? I mean, circumstances weren't so great, but you felt at peace. You knew God was in control. Hey, God has this. Maybe you had been praying. Maybe you read a scripture. Maybe you read a godly saying or saw something, but you had a peace come over you. And in that time and moment, you were trusting God. Have you been there? And if you've been there, then you probably know what it's like to do what Peter did next. When he saw the wind. We know what it's like to go from trusting to not trusting, right? When he saw the wind, he began to fear. He began to doubt. He began to sink, is what happened. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Yes. And of course, Jesus did. When you have peace in the middle of a storm and you begin to worry, we still have a God that's faithful. And Jesus was there, and Jesus immediately reaches out his hand, takes hold of him, and saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus didn't take hold of his hand and say, "Peter, I tell you what, I didn't think you'd last that long. I mean, you did pretty good. I really didn't think any of y'all have the amount of faith to step out and walk on water. You did good." Jesus didn't say that. He said, "Peter, you have little faith." In other words, why did you stop trusting me? Why did you doubt? The question in our lives, the question in your life is not, can God save you? The question in your life is, are you going to doubt and worry? Are you going to doubt and worry? God will provide. Will we trust Him? Well, verse 32, Jesus, when they got into the boat, Jesus and Peter, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped God, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Can you talk about a faith-building moment? But the question comes about, why didn't God calm the storm before? Jesus knew they were going across. Jesus surely knew that they would face the wind and the waves and they would have a difficult time. They would be afraid. Even when Jesus came to them, when they were afraid, Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Why didn't Jesus calm the storm right then? Why didn't He calm the wind? Make it stop. And the answer is the same reason God doesn't calm the storms in your life and the storms in my life. Why doesn't He calm those storms before we get to them? And the answer is because He's trying to build trust. Amen. He's trying to build your trust. You need greater trust. You have to exercise trust like a muscle. Right? You can't just flip it like a switch. You can't just decide, you know what, I've never really been good at it, but I'm going to start being good at it, and it's going to start today, and I'm going to trust all day long, and I'm never going to waver. No, you have to have some waves to exercise your trust muscle. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You need to exercise your trust muscle." Tell them they do. Tell your neighbor... Tell them your trust muscle is puny. Right? It probably is. Now, there might be a handful in here who are really strong at trusting God, but if you told them their trust muscle is puny, that's okay. You know, everyone needs to be humbled. We all. Right? Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. We need more trust. It has to be exercised. Last week we looked at this scripture, this passage in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says in verse 25, He says, "Do not be anxious about your life." So don't be anxious. Verse 30, He says, "You have little faith." Don't be anxious. Have faith. Trust. And then verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." So the message there is trust God, focus on His kingdom. That's what we need to be about. It might be difficult to do, but it shouldn't be difficult to remember. It's pretty simple. You need to trust God more and seek first His kingdom. That's the church. Seek first His kingdom. I want us to look at a few scriptures on peace. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus says when He gives us peace, it's different. It's not like the world's peace. The fact is we all as humans know what it's like to seek worldly peace. People seek worldly peace in a lot of ways. Some are more unhealthy than others, but you can do it through drugs or alcohol, the things that are addictive. We can do it through things that are healthy to a point, like physical fitness, but you can go to excess to the point where you're anchoring. You want to have peace in your life. You want to feel good, and it's all about my fitness. And we can go even too far and think that that is going to give me the peace that I need. Or we can do it with financial security. You can be so tight with your money that you have so much saved up and stocked up, and we have this insurance and for this provision and that provision, and that those things are smart, but then there comes a point where I'm anchoring to that for my peace. Well, guess what? All those things will let you down. Jesus says, "I give you my peace. It's not as the world gives." Philippians 4:4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer." And if you want another nugget to take with you today about worrying and anxiety, the nugget is pray more. If you worry a lot, pray a lot. If you worry a lot, pray more. Pray, pray, and keep praying. You think, well, this isn't working, preacher. Well, pray some more. And then exercise your trust muscle. Pray, trust, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, so this is God's peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule. If you've battled worry, you know how it can be all-consuming. And let me stop and make a quick point about there's a type of anxiety that is beyond what the scope of what I'm talking about today, and that is more biochemical anxiety. If you've ever had a panic attack, if you've ever had racing thoughts, you may have anxiety to the level that, in other words, someone showed me a picture today of a snake that was a good one because it was dead. And that's how you know a snake is good, if it's dead. Because snakes, my anxiety will go to the roof if I see a snake. My point is, God gave us anxiety to save us when there's a true danger. Okay? In fact, the Bible does tell us to fear. We are to fear God in a respectful way, and we are to fear sin in a desperate way. Fear. So there's a time and a place where your body goes into overdrive on fear. But with someone battling mental illness issues, their body will do that, and they may have a panic attack. They may have anxiety that it exceeds a normal range. And that is a chemical issue. That is a doctor and a professional help issue. So let's keep that in mind. But with worry, it can rule us. If you've been to where you're worrying, and I can't quit worrying. I'm trying to exercise my trust muscle. It's not working. I'm struggling, and it feels it's controlling you. It is ruling you. Well, Jesus says, or Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let that peace rule your heart. Isn't that good? That's what we want. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, may the Lord of peace himself. So, not only does God give us peace, but he's the Lord of peace. Peace is who he is. God is love. God is peace. May he give you peace when you need it. Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
I want it when I need it, but is that what the Bible says? I throw you a curveball once in a while. May he give you peace. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. I like that. This is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. May God give you peace, not just when you need it or think you need it, but may he give it to you at all times. All times, in every way. Every way. So to answer your question, I should have some peace or more peace. We want to have peace, and God wants us to have peace at all times. I want to demonstrate a little bit this morning. So Xander's going to come up and help me today to just kind of help make some of this maybe make a little more sense, bring some clarity to it. So Xander represents you, all right? So come right over here, Xander. And I'm going to give him something that represents peace. Now that's peace, all right? Xander likes Coke. I like Coke. Coke's good. I like pop. Go ahead and open that. All you popaholics, your mouths are watering right now. Right? Don't you get a wave of peace that comes over you? Take a drink. Let's see how it is. What do you think? Is that good? That's good. That's good. That's what peace... Peace is good, okay? Peace is not hard to carry. Peace, it refreshes us. Peace comforts us. It's good to have peace, isn't it? Yeah. All right, so Xander represents us right now, having peace. Peace is a good thing. It's what we want. Now, Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. We know what it's like when you worry, when you have anxiety. You may understand it by you have a lot of worrisome thoughts, but you also feel it physically. And we feel it. We tend to feel it in our chest area, don't we? And so, you know, the when Scripture says anxiety weighs a heart down. That makes a lot of sense, because when I'm really worrying, I feel it here. It may be in your stomach, but it's here in your chest area. I feel nervous. It feels like a weight, right? So look at this. Notice this. What does God want regarding our heart? We know anxiety and worry weigh us down. I love the fact that in talking about peace, you know, Jesus says, I don't want your heart to be troubled. I don't want your heart to be weighed down. In fact, I want God's peace to guard your heart, that it would protect it. And so when you have peace in your heart, it feels good. It's like a refreshing drink. It's like your favorite pop. It feels good to have it. It feels good to drink it. It's light. I feel at peace. Okay. Now, but Xander, like us, at different times, he's going to start to worry. So Xander's going to have it's a worry rock, right? He's going to start to worry. But before he worries, because you can't, I'm going to give this to you because you're going to start worrying, but you can't hold this and your peace at the same time, okay? So you've got to give me your peace. And now you can worry. You can hold that any way you want. So, point being, when we worry, we don't realize it, but understand something, church. When you worry, you have chosen to give up your peace. When you worry, you don't know it, you didn't intentionally do it, but when you choose to not trust God and take that worry, it weighs your heart down, it's heavy, it'll get heavier. Xander's strong, but it'll get heavier. It makes it look easy. And the more we worry, the heavier it gets. We want the peace, and we don't realize we gave the peace up when we decided to not trust God anymore and start worrying. So here we are worried. When we worry, it doesn't feel good, but it is familiar. And some of you, if you're not worrying, you feel like maybe there's something I need to be worrying about. If I don't worry, something's going to blindside me, so I need to worry. Worry can feel familiar. That doesn't mean it's good. So Scripture tells us what to do when we're worrying. So we've given up our peace, we're worrying, what do we do? Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. All your anxieties. If you wonder sometimes, should I pray about this? I don't know. Maybe it's too small. Maybe God would think I'm being petty. If it is worrying you, God says, give it to me. You've heard the phrase, give it to God. That's very biblical. This word translated casting is a word that they used in the first century when they would take a burden. Is that getting heavy yet? Thank you. You're making it look good. That rock will get heavy. When you put a load on a donkey that would carry a load for you while you walk, the action of putting that on the animal is the same Greek word that's translated casting. When you give something to God, you don't hand it to Him in a way that it's not going to burden Him, but it's a load for you when you hand it to God, and God takes that. All right. Is that getting at you? Ready? Do you want your peace back? Yeah. Peace is better. Peace is better. All right, so we're going to get the peace back, but same deal applies. You can't take peace and worry. Can't have them both. Can't have them both. You have to give up your worry. I'm going to reach under here. Now we're back to our peace. That's better. That's better. Our worry doesn't burden God, right? Isn't that something? When you give it to God, it doesn't burden Him. And so we give Him, Psalm 56:3 says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in You. When you find yourself burdened in your heart with worry, you say, I don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what to do. Put your trust back in God. And you say, well, it doesn't work that way, preacher. So pray. Put your trust back in God. You say, well, I'm just not good at trusting. Well, exercise it. Exercise it. I've seen some pictures of people exercising lately. I'm a fan of it. Not personally, but I'm a fan of exercise. Just not personally, but I've seen some people that are motivated by someone who exercises a lot. I saw one picture the other day. They're driving from the gym, and the driver, he exercises all the time, but the passengers don't, and they're asleep. Dead asleep. I'm not going to name any names. Exercise your trust muscle, okay? Exercise it. It is much better having the peace that God gives us. Psalm 23:4. You may think, preacher, you don't understand the stuff in my life. I'm in a bad relationship. I've got a boss and challenges at work, and they just don't go away. I try to trust, but it doesn't go away. Or maybe you're taking care of a loved one who is declining in their health, and you say, preacher, I understand trust for most things. You don't understand this thing. But remember, what a psalm. Here we have a couple of scriptures. Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Would you describe your struggle as the valley of the shadow of death? Because when life gets really, really hard, that's about what it feels like. I will fear no evil. Why? And this is a big piece here. Why can the author, which is David, why would he say, I fear no evil, even when I'm in my darkest times, I fear no evil? Because, there's a reason, because he says, God, I know you're with me. You are with me. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isn't that great? I love it. What can I don't have anything that I really need to fear because God is with me. He's my helper. Remember when Jesus was talking to his apostles, this is in John 16:32. He's talking to his apostles the night that he was to be betrayed, the next day crucified. He says, tonight you will betray me. You'll leave me alone. You'll scatter. I'll be alone, Jesus says, but I won't be alone. He says, because the Father is with me. How did Jesus go like a lamb to the slaughter, to the cross? Because he trusted in God. He knew God was with him. And so it's a reminder that when we trust God, we are trusting a God who's not distant. He's not far away. We trust a God who says, hey, I'm here with you. I'm with you. I'm near. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Take another drink, Xander. Refreshment to your bones. Is that refreshing? That's good. That's good stuff. That's what peace is, isn't it? And so, by the way, when you leave here in a minute, you're going to go with either the pop or the rock here in just a second. One of the two. So, the devil, the devil loves it when we worry, right? And he will come and offer us this back. Because life will still have wind. It will still have waves. It will still come again. The devil will come back and say, you know what, this, you're really familiar with this. Do you want this? Would you like this back? If I try to get this back, you don't want it back. So you tell me no. But to take it back, you've got to give up your peace. So the devil's really reaching for your peace. So give me your... Now tell me no. Okay. Let's try it again. And tell me like you really mean it. Give me your peace. Okay, we're going to do it again. Tell me like you really, really, really mean it. Give me your peace. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Up top. Good job. You can go sit down, Xander. Good job. It's such a different thing mentally to think that if I worry, it seems smart to worry, but if I worry, I have given up something. I have given up the peace that I might have just momentarily had. I've given it up. And for me, when that happens, when I understand it this way, when that happens, I'm thinking, no, devil, no, you can have that rock. I want my peace back. I don't want to give my peace up. I want to hang on to my peace. I want to hang on to trusting in Jesus. It is so much better than that worry rock. we're going to have a song of encouragement. And during this song, there may be something heavy on your heart, something that you would like us to lift up to God for you. Maybe one here this morning who would love to give Christ their life and have their sins washed away, become a Christian this morning. And I also want to say, if you struggle, as we all do to some extent, but with worry, remember, Jesus is with you. God is with you. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. Hang on to the peace that He gives us. So if you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary?
Who dries the tears from your eyes?